Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of CTF Radio. I've completely lost count, and I have no idea what number this is. Jan, without looking, guess what number episode this is.
Hex 20C.
Definitely incorrect, but close. We've been doing this a long time. We have a lot of episodes. It's been a while since we were on. We had a fish episode that kind of sat in the queue for a long time that just we didn't do anything to.
Our producer which was, just
yeah, we should really to get this person fire to that person. Like, it's almost like they're doing this for free and don't have a lot of free time anymore.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, man. You get to the partnership that you choose. So that that sword cuts both ways. But yeah, so we had that great episode, but a lot has changed since we recorded that in, I think, October.
It's been a lot. One of the big things that's changed we'll talk about is, of course, kind of a sea change in CTF in two ways. I'm sure both of which will come up to some extent. I'm excited for this episode. It's been a while. We've both been busy. I think that you can tell that the 3-4 months that since we've recorded the last episode that we've been kind of, you know, aging it like a fine wine. I think you can you can feel.
People say that about podcasts. They're actually better the longer you wait to release them.
Exactly. I think you can feel the love and care that every bit was you know, was struggled over.
Actually, fun fact, the editing software we use like improved over the time that we recorded that episode to when I released it. So it was less clicks for me to actually get it done. So that
it's
was
like when you're leaving work at rush hour, you're like, oh, you might as well stay later and arrive earlier.
Yeah, but you don't actually stay later working. You stay later just at work doing something else.
Prompting.
Exactly. Okay. And speaking of, that's actually, I think, a big change that we'll probably touch on that happened since we talked to Fish in October. I think your and my views on AI has completely changed. And so I'm really interested to talk to our guests about how their views on AI and CTF.
Shall we talk about our guests?
Sure. Well, first, why don't you say the thing and then we'll, or you want to intro the guest now?
I'd say, let's do this. Let's play the diddle. And then we'll do the thing.
Did he?
Is that what it is? English is not my first language.
Yeah, you only say that when you say really messed up things, though. But you know the thing you're supposed to say before the intro, right?
Hey, hello, hackers.
Fantastic. Right. We're on our game, just
three,
like always.
3, 2, 1.
Honk!
It was a synchronized honk. So what is that honking we hear outside, Jan? Why don't you introduce our guests?
Awesome. We have with us today the Benevolent Bureau of Birds. These are officially now, in many ways, over and over and over, the most hackery, powerful lead hackers in the world. And they're here on our podcast to talk to us about the sea change in CTF in the new era of BBB.
Did you say, though, what is BBB doing? I think you missed that incredibly important detail.
Yeah, I forgot. It's a minor thing. BBB.
In addition to being over, really great hackers, yes, this is like the...
BBB have taken over from Nautilus Institute, who took over from the Order of the Overflow, who've taken over ad nauseum, et cetera,
how
et
far,
et cetera.
Oh, no, how far can you go? That was a real
shame. I could go further, come on, as we discussed. But anyways, BBB are the new organizers of DEF CON CTF, the World Championship of Hacking, the Olympics of Hacking. Let's give them all a hand. Yeah, that's great. Nice. That's wow. The live studio audience
loves it. They love it. Oh my God, wait, there's more. Oh, geez. Oh, wow. Who gave me a board?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We're blushing.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. So, welcome, BBB. So, who wants to first tell us what is BBB besides what Jan said?
All right. long ago, last year, there was an internal effort within the Maple Mallard Magistrates, MMM, which at the point of last year, we had won DEF CON CTF 4 times in a row. And there was an internal discussion that said, well, no one has ever done it like us, so we may as well organize. The story that I have is that after winning last year's DEF CON, Robert came up to me, and he goes, V, I need to talk to you. And he has never reached out to me in such a serious tone before. So I was really worried. I was like, oh my God, he's going to retire. And I was like, yeah, what's up? Like, is something wrong? And he goes, you know, like, I think it's like now is the time to organize DEF CON. And I was like, oh, okay, thank God. I thought you were going to retire.
He is, and you're going to host, is what he said, right?
So what ended up becoming, what ended up becoming was a conversion of some key members from MMM into BBB, the organizing team before you.
Incredible. And I forgot to introduce you, V, a friend of the show who's been on before. And
this
so
is your third episode. Fourth.
This is...
No, third.
No, this is my third. Yeah,
third.
My third.
Yeah. And so it's safe to say that all of the best BBBers are here with us today, and anybody who's not here is not critical, is what you were telling us before recording.
No.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Hold on.
No, is that not it? Did that get lost in translation?
I think I have someone else talk.
You know, we often get asked, like, who's the critical people in O, and the answer really varied a lot depending on who was there at the time.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, that's something that I think that teams morph over time, right? Just like you talked about. But
that too, or people leave earshot.
4 years is also a long time, man.
You could do 5 if it's not long enough.
There is precedent for 5.
Thank you.
When we started running, we thought 5 was standard for some reason. I mean, it's not that it's secret who are, like, you know, you saw in the Dark Tangents blog post, like, yes, this, you can do math. We did math wrong. And so I was like, Adam, we need to do 5 years. And it wasn't until someone at a dinner, so like, you guys are done after this year. We're like, what?
Yeah. Anyways, that was terrible. So let's get to know all the other BBBers. So Robert, your name was brought up first. It sounds like this was your brainchild or bad idea, however you want to think about it.
Yeah, bad idea. Probably. We'll see. Yeah.
Reintroduce yourself and the BBB story. Why did you think now was the time to host?
Well, so... I've been playing CTFs, DEF CON CTF in particular, for a pretty long time, you know, with MMM in the last 4 years, but with PvP long before that. So it's safe to say that I've been sort of around the block on this. And to be honest, you know, I see the amount of work that the organizers put into this, and I feel that we owe something to the community in some sense, you know, having done this many, many, many times. And also, I think it's a really good opportunity for us to really decide and shape how we want the CTF to look, especially as we enter a kind of a new era in a bunch of different, you know, for a bunch of different reasons. But more than that, some of it is a kind of a debt of gratitude in some sense to the community that's given us, like, I think well over a decade, in my case, of high quality, you know, getting to meet people, getting to hack at the highest level, getting to do all these things. And some of it really is just, I think it just feels like the time is right. And I reached out to other folks, V, other folks in the team. And I think we all came together and said, yeah, this is the time to do it. So in some sense, you know, it is a very much, I, I, I would say maybe I had the kind of the initial push, but it's a team effort and it's a team decision that we all decided to come to say, yes, this is the right time to do it. Yes, let's do it. Let's pull the trigger and start to, you know, put together the organization, figure out who's going to be there, figure out what we want to do, you know, do the CFO, and then come to the present day where we're really, you know, heads down organizing the whole thing.
Yeah, you're like, oh shit, now we have to actually do this. It's not just like words on paper. It's like,
I remember those days.
Yeah.
Especially the first year when you're just like, what now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you tricked several people into joining you. So let's meet some of your fellow birds. Can I call you birds? Is that?
Yeah, we're all birds here. Yeah.
We're all birds here. Up here, everyone floats. Okay. Great. Zartek, you want to go first?
Sure. This is my second episode. I hearken all the way back from the closet episode for post-DEFCON.
I thought so. It's the recording's slightly hazy for me, but it was a fun time.
It was hazy for me too. It was a long CTF. It was a long party. Yes. Hi, I'm Zartek. What would you like to know?
Why did you say yes when the call came out? You saw it. Somebody said, hey, I don't know if it was Robert or V, said, hey, we should organize DEFCON CTF. Why did you say yes?
I think it was like a thing that we had talked about as a possibility, but obviously you can't really do it unless there's a set, like the organizing team is leaving, right? So it's kind of just like, okay, it's going to be now or it's going to be 4 years or 8 years from now. That was just like, you know, someone's proposed it. Sure. I'm here for fun and friendship. So that was basically my reason. Was it a poor idea? I don't know.
You can't tell now. You'll only find out in 4 years or.
Yep. It is a really good idea. Looking
5 years.
Back on it.
Yes. Yeah. 5 years from now, you'll be like, that was great.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Great. So rounding out. So Blue Pichu, I believe we chatted with you on the PvP episode. Is that right?
Yeah, I do. But I was going to say it's my first time, but no, I think you're right. I think I was on here once before quite a while ago.
Dang. We go way back. So great. So how did you get involved in the birdness?
I mean, with all of these other people already on board, what else was I going to do other than join, right? Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of a mix between what Carolina said and what Robert said, where it's like fun and friendship and also like, now is the time to do it. Like, if we were ever going to do it, am I going to want to do this in 4 years? Don't know. So really, there's no better time to kind of take
the answer
jump.
Should be no, depending on how it goes. But if in 4 years from now, if you're doing it, wow, we're doing such good podcasting that the this is better than if it was in his car, right?
Light just vanished. That's good.
Awesome. Yeah, incredible. See, but we just good. Roll with this is how you can tell we don't cut anything because all that.
No, that was really hacking.
That was hacking.
In fact, well, let me see what happens.
Are you just gonna turn off your light?
Wow,
that's cool. I had no idea.
This is incredible.
What?
Are we
vibe?
All, are we all turning off the lights?
Hold it's a slumber party episode.
I have the jankiest, like, blinds here.
Oh, it's
they alternate.
Nice.
CTF after dark. All right. Great.
This is. Did you go turn good, that off actually. So I can light myself from below?
Oh, my God.
Stories.
This is great.
Horror tales of Hosei. And
God.
Then the IP table's rules have been wiped.
From inside the server.
Don't spoil us. We need to learn for ourselves.
That's true. Yeah.
No, you will fuck it up in unique new ways that nobody could predict. That's the law of CTF. Great. Okay, Jacob, I think you are new to the show. So why don't you give a brief introduction of yourself?
Yeah, I guess I am the newest person here to the CTF radio experience. Yeah, so I come from the Maple Bacon lineage of MMM. I have ran the Maple Bacon Club for a bit more than 2 years. Have played with MMM in the past three DEF CONs, including getting a black badge in DEF CON 32. I'm also a former student of Robert's. So feel free to ask any questions about how good Robert is as a teacher. Yeah, a little bit about me. Yeah.
Great. So what do you... Let's go ahead, Jan.
Are the horror stories on Raid My Professor true? No, I'm just kidding. I haven't looked at your rate by professor.
Man, that's really a messed up thing to say to another professor, actually.
I'll tell you, the horror stories in my rate by professor are true.
No, the real bad ones aren't even on there. But no, right. Jan's a great professor. Okay, so got to know the team a little bit. Oh, maybe V or Robert, you can give us like the shape of the team. So what's like, you know, you find people are joining us right now. What's kind of the shape of the rest of the team? Do you have like 100 people helping you or? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
33, if memory serves correctly, as far as our CFO goes. And we've got a couple of extra folks who are also going to be helping out, who are old DEF CON hands. So I think I don't actually know what the exact total is right now, since we've had a couple of extra folks kind of joining in. It's probably around 35, I think, is the number. So we have, and it's made up primarily of people who are from the Maple Mallard Magistrates, MMM. It's a good mix of people who are really experienced at running CTFs, Plaid CTF, Maple CTF, etc. Folks who've been around PvP, MMM. Lots of folks with lots of experience. In particular, you know, as you probably realize, we've got a lot of folks working on infrastructure, right, for finals. A lot of stuff happening there. And lots of very experienced challenge developers all over. So.
Awesome. Yeah, this we're, I think, both very excited. I don't know if I can speak for Jan, but I think we're, you know, always, you know, we want to see CTF succeed. We want to see it expand the bounds. And I think you guys are definitely going to do that. You have any words of wisdom, Jan, maybe to share?
So I think Blue Pichu said it, that
words of wisdom to themselves. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You have all the
bouncing it right back. You know, these calls don't come around every year. And if we hadn't signed up when we did, 4 years later, I had two kids and really could not put in that amount of time. And so it's possible you just get that one shot, right? And then life kind of goes on. So it's a very crazy thing to grab by the horns, but you got to do it. I think of everyone that I have seen, I mean, that is, since we've hosted, it's just been, you know, you're the second people that have rotated in. I think, and maybe you should, do you feel like you're set up for blazing success? I feel like you're in a really good position as a team.
So organizing ADC.
You want to expand on that maybe first? Of what you mean?
AD is just a totally different kettle of fish. Like we were talking, you know, we were just talking about like, just like one of those random examples, you know, just looking at, you know, how much processing and storage do we need to handle the PCAPs at this thing? It's like, oh, it's actually like just, you know, a couple terabytes. You're like, oh my God, we have to handle, like, that's just one of the little things, right? Like the scale of this is just a totally different thing. From
finals is unique,
you know.
Yeah,
it's just totally unique. So are we like you know, am I gonna guarantee that we're gonna succeed at this? No, I couldn't possibly do that in any universe. Even though, you know, we've brought a lot of experience from things like Plaid CTF, writing challenges. We've played this CTF more than most teams in history, right? And so at least from a player's perspective, I think we have a lot of experience in the team about what we'd like to see. But it is a totally different thing implementing that and actually making that run. I imagine we'll probably have a bit more appreciation for what the organizers go through in the future.
Yeah. Maybe
it will turn out that everyone else has been complete noobing it up. You guys will show up and say,
yeah. Sure about that one.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The thing you to guys consider ran... is just like... Oh, you go,
sorry.
Robert.
Sorry.
Hold on. Yeah, he was praising us. Let him finish.
Yeah. Robert, go.
You know, no, you guys ran a really tight ship. Like the OO era was amazing. And so for us to even get like to try to approach that, I think is really where we're aiming for, right? To approach the level of like things didn't break and things worked and challenges are interesting and fun. Like that would be really ideal for us, right? So we're looking at, honestly, a lot of it is looking up to you guys, the contest that you ran. Thank
in
you.
In the later years, is what he means.
And so that's also the year one. The year one stress is like, oh my god, like what's gonna break in year one, right? And you have such a small amount of time during the actual competition to fix stuff that it just has to all be like really, really well prepared in advance, and that's something that's, yeah, really challenging. Carolina,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like one thing to remember is like we've played a lot of CTFs. We've run a lot of CTFs for the most part, with exception of V and Google CTF, like Hackcelerate. Like they are just fully remote. They don't even have final rounds. It's just quals, right? And they're all Jeopardy style. So for us to be doing AD in person, and now we're thinking about like physical hardware, how do we get it like across the country or between countries even, or just like that sort of thing. How do we get the logistics of like people need to come way earlier than like we normally would ever, right? Can we even get most of the team there if there's students, if there's people working, that sort of thing. I mean, like I was asking Jan, when is a reasonable time to show up to Las Vegas? And the first year of Tuesday was a terrible mistake. Like it realistically, if people like can't get off work, like we have to just roll with whatever we got. So there's a lot of like stuff like that that's very different than we've dealt with before, and that also is just very scary and new to us, and we'll see how it goes and we'll try to improve.
Yeah, that's, I mean, well, I think even off the bat, I think one thing you're doing better than we did was from a manpower perspective. I think like it takes much more people than we thought to run something like this, and we tried to not even really thinking, I guess we really didn't, I don't know, think too deeply about how many people we'd need. So, you know, and that of course comes with trade-offs of managing a larger team versus like a smaller team. But, you know, even people, when you're on a team of like 12, there's still people that are like, where's your fucking challenge? And they're like, yeah, no, it's definitely going to be there. And then you show up in Vegas. It's like, oh yeah, just, I got to do these one things for my challenge. Yeah. You fucking said a month ago it was done. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is something that we put a lot of thought into before we like really dove all the way in, was mm-hmm. making sure that, because we obviously the last thing we would want would be to like kind of do it half-assed. Like we don't want to jump in and then not have it go as well as we want because we don't have the manpower for it. So we did really put a lot of thought into like, okay, we need to make sure that we actually have enough people to take on all the responsibilities that we need to hit in order to run a successful competition. And even if we all really want to, if we can't guarantee that, then we're not going to even try.
Yeah, like you said, if you have students or people with jobs, it's just hard, you know, and that's what we realized and understood, is just like, man, it's hard to put in those extra hours into this thing. But that's what kind of makes it that labor of love, that when it's done and even with the things that go wrong, you're like, ah, yeah, we did this. It was cool.
And, you know, this is also one of those big, like, transitioning from playing to organizing, right? For a decent chunk of the team, we've been doing Plaid CTF sort of annually. Matt knows more than anybody else because he's been leading that for many years. That, you know,
yeah, wow, incredible.
There you go, right? So yeah, you know, so that it's a it that, you know, you play CTF, it's just like you show up in Vegas and then you just do the thing, and it's, you know, like less than 72 hours later you're done and then you sleep. And when you're organizing, that's the work is, you know, not just that period of time, because you also have to be awake for basically the whole time, but you also have to be doing all this extra, you know, competition setup, infrastructure, challenge development, testing, all that stuff throughout the year. So it's a much more sustained effort. And one of the conscious things that we did do, as Matt mentions, is we were very, very careful about picking the people who were going to show up to this, as well as really reconfirming everyone's availability and commitment to be able to actually do stuff. So, yep.
Well, that's great. I think, you know, we're all excited and we're all rooting for you. I think that's what that's, you know, I don't know. You'll feel it, I think, at the end of the first year is like, you know, yeah, however it goes, and people are very happy that you did that and put in the effort. So yeah, that part's great.
The day after the first finals, our first finals, was one of the most, like, I don't know, cathartic days of my life. It was insane. Do you remember that, Adam? Just sitting in the CTF area in a circle, just talking.
I think I was still burned out. Yeah, I was in a very bad mood even then.
He's blacked it out.
It wasn't until, like, yeah.
There's a passage of time he just doesn't recall.
Yeah, I remember the night of, or just afterwards, and just being, like, so happy it was done. But then the next day, I, like, didn't want to rehash it because I was so just, like, it was so rough that I didn't want to, like, go through it again. But everyone wanted to do it, and so I did it. And
so if you're talking about words of wisdom, I think that's a big one right there, is it feels very different from the inside than it feels from the outside. From the inside, everything's always on fire, always. Like, no matter what, something is breaking for the full 48 hours.
Great. Yeah, cool.
It just is. Sorry. But it's, you know, sometimes it's minor things. Sometimes you know, there's, yeah, like, and it's nothing that the teams would ever notice. But Jan would sometimes come over and be like, oh, can we do this thing? I'm like, no, man, I'm fixing this freaking database issue. Like, leave me alone. Like, stop bothering me. He's like, wait, that was broken? I'm like, yes, but it won't be for long if I fix it in time. And yeah. Anyways.
Or another, maybe the first people to notice are also the people that understand the most. They're experienced, very experienced CTFers, and they're like, huh, I got two ticks of stale flags. I'm sure it's fine.
Wonder what.
And then
the
issue resolves itself because, you know, Adam was over there tearing his hair out until the flag showed up. Then the game goes on. But, like, most of the players don't notice because two teams have an exploit for that. And one team doesn't have the monitoring infrastructure to realize the flags were stale for a tick.
Mm. This is true. Okay. Yeah. This makes my heart happy, knowing that hopefully teams will not have the tooling necessary to notice our mistakes.
Yes. Actually, this is something that's, you know, I think you guys are coming from a team that hands down had the most intricate tooling philosophy, I would say. I know, like, a lot of your tooling was oftentimes, like, written right then as, like, this the data becomes available, let's, you know, analyze it. But very few people had, I mean, our first year, right? I realize this episode is not about us, but our first year hosting, we had a bug due to a Python variable scoping issue in our score calculation. And someone from PPP came up and said, guys, our calculation of our score based on your game state is different than your calculation. We're pretty sure we're right. And we're sure enough that was accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, we were sure, but we're like, that is on the list of fires. That's actually down here. So yeah, we have other stuff. We knew we could, like, recalculate it and it'd be no problem. So yeah, that got pushed. And
that was a funny scenario.
Yeah, disastrous, so we told second day recalculation.
The students who were volunteering with us, yo, PPP said that this was wrong, so they're probably right. So go figure out what's wrong.
They found the issue. Cool. Or we found the issue. Yeah, right, yeah. So it's one of these. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'd like to switch us maybe a little bit into a different topic. I think it's a thing that's on everyone's mind. It's been on my mind since December when I became fully, like, AI pilled. So. Mm-hmm. What to do? Is CTF dead in the era of AIs and agentic AIs and large LLMs?
Oof, we all have things to say about this.
Great. That's why we're here.
I'll start first since I'm talking. To answer your question, I don't think so. No. There was some discussion that I saw in public forums, but I think the gist of it is that, and I agree with a good chunk of it, which is that, no, I don't think CTFs will die, but I do think that they will adapt and they may look different from how they were pre-AI. There's a lot of discussion about how a lot of these agentic workflows can now, like, solve quite a bit of common CTF challenges. Like, I know Pico CTF could essentially just be insta-solved by AI, which is unfortunate, as Pico CTF's main goal is a learning-based CTF, not a try really, really hard and get number one on leaderboard CTF.
The learning platforms are suffering the most from this.
right. Well, bye, Robert. So he'll join later. It's fine. But basically, to summarize my points, I think CTFs will adapt, and I do think that being the DEF CON organizers will kind of push us forward as one of the main pillars of that adaptation. So how we choose to move forward with CTFs will probably continue changing the frontier. With that being said, it kind of does suck that a lot of, you know, like these classic challenges are essentially, you know, completely autonomously solved by AI. Without like speaking too much on like personal experiences, but like I've had the most fun like struggling through a challenge myself. Like one of my favorite challenges that I've played in a CTF was just like was like one that I spent 48 hours on.
Perfect.
Oh. All right, bye, Robert.
I'll claim that I did that, even though I did.
Okay, well, to continue my point, it does kind of suck because, yeah, like you spend your whole weekend on one challenge, you learn something out of it, whether you solve it or not. So you come out of the whole experience like having gained something, right? Like, okay, now I know how this thing works, or now I know more about this obscure protocol. Or if like in a really good scenario, it's like I now have a tool that deals with this obscure thing, and I think a lot of that magic is lost. And so yeah, that being said, I think we'll adopt. I kind of miss how CTFs were pre-AI, and my hope is that we bring some of that magic back. How we will do that, you'll find out, I guess.
I was going to say, feel free not to deliver, you know, leak any important information. We're not trying to, you know, fuzz the organizers. And
we're going to make DEF CON finals physical one person versus one person, 1v1 fights.
Nice.
Ooh, it's cool. Actually boxing. Just a Smash Bros. Tournament now.
Yeah.
That's pretty
AI cannot catch these hands. So
can I get hackers like Pokemon and just like go 1v1 with my hacker versus somebody else's hackers?
If you're
called live CTF.
Yeah, no, if you're hitting hackers,
but I want to swap them out
balls.
When they're bad.
Wait, hold on, guys. I don't think we should be hitting hackers with plastic balls.
No, we put them in the plastic balls. They're
roll
inside
them
the plastic balls. V, they're nice and big balls. Don't worry about it. Human sized.
Oh my god.
Balls. Well, I think this is a great idea. Anyways, hacker Pokemon, we'll wait for later. But
so yeah, that's my piece.
Producers could have to carry a lot of weight this episode.
Yes, I'm sorry. That's my piece. If the others would like to weigh in, please feel free.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is that as a longtime challenge author who's now just kind of like getting started and getting really into the challenges for quals that we're starting as well as finals, the game has really changed as an author. Like, it is a completely different experience now. Whereas before, you know, when I was working, especially on a challenge that had multiple components, it was like, okay, how can I make this fun and engaging? How can I, like, you know, put a little bit of signposting in there to say, like, okay, yes, you are going in the right direction. This is a good first step. Now, the entire thing is centralized on, is Claude going to solve this immediately? Mm-hmm. Because if the answer is yes, then I basically have to start over from scratch and figure out what I'm going to do about it.
Right.
So it's very much like you're no longer playing against... You're no longer like building an experience. You're no longer playing against the competitor. You're playing against the AI. It's a very different game. And I think as V said, we're going to have to adapt. And that might mean that what CTF is looks very different a year or 2 years from now than it does today. But, you know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. And then if you had asked me in November if I was worried about this, I'd say, no, I've tried this stuff. It's like not very good. And then like December, the, you know, models came out, and with like Claude Code, Codex, Agentic systems, like I don't think we've talked about this publicly, but there's like, I guess we can talk about this stuff, but we had an AI got its blue belt on Pwn College, like solved all of the Pwn College stuff. Yeah. And like no human interactions and stuff we've been doing on DARPA programs, they've been able to find, you know, custom like bugs in custom Linux kernel drivers and exploit them and write full LPE like exploits. It's just kind of pretty much opened my eyes to be like, holy crap, this stuff is like really, really good. Like we've turned a corner. But, you know, I think it must be tricky because I don't know what's going to happen in 3 months or 6 months when a new model drops. Like, is it going to be much better? And now I don't know. Yeah. Not to freak
out. There is no scarier thought than a new model dropping in mid-August.
Yeah.
We are terrified of that possibility.
I mean, I I think the thing is like, beginner CTFs and CTFs that are meant for like upscaling probably just realistically cannot have, you know, prizes anymore, just because like they're going to have to be so easy that people can do them by themselves. But then like you have, you know, people that are just going to be one-shotting it for prizes, which is unfortunate, because I think like for some CTFs of that ilk, like people like, you know, high school students, for instance, were really drawn to that because of prizes. So it sucks, because it's going to be like, you're going to have to trust that people are going to want to do this because they want to learn. And likely, you know, you're going to lose a lot of people because of that. But that's unfortunately a hard thing to combat. I think for harder CTFs like DEF CON CTF and like the other like really, really hard CTFs, it's going to be a thing that's going to suck, I think, in the immediate, because we don't really have good solutions other than make it harder and like test against Claude. Right. But like, you know, again, like if they drop a model and it's like way better, then all that hard work that we've done just like, you know, goes up in the air for nothing. The other thing is then you like are putting a lot of time and effort into testing it against the AI, and like say even if the model doesn't change, but like the person just has like asked something slightly different or has like a slightly different input, or right, the AI right. just happens to work slightly differently, like you lose out, right? And then you've spent all that extra time and effort trying to like AI proof it that you could have been spending doing something else. And it sucks that like you're doing that instead of making like interesting challenges and like building infrastructure and that sort of thing. So it's a lot more time that has to go into that than like other things that probably should realistically matter. So yeah, I think probably longer term, if it's going to be like a solved thing, it's going to be kind of like, how do you change the type of game or the way the game is run? So that way, like it requires people, like if they use AI, that they're working with the AI rather than just like having the AI thrown at it. I don't know what the answer to that is. I think the issue is the CTF community, even like even us running DEF CON, we don't know the answer to that, right? And like realistically, with finals being like just around the corner, like it's really hard for us to come up with a perfect solution to that sort of thing. Like we can only try our best right now. But I think that's the sort of thing is like the CTF community will figure out an alternative approach. Jeopardy, like for instance, that style of CTF might just not be reasonable anymore, because that's a very, it seems like a very easy thing to throw AI at and just be done with it. Do we think about more like interactive, you know, game modes essentially? Can you realistically run those interactive game modes like remotely? I don't know. That may not be a good format for remote, so it might just be back to the, you know, you run a CTF because you love running CTFs and you love making the challenges, and sure, maybe it can be one shot by AI, but like you're not putting prizes and you just wanted people to learn from it, and then you make the finals kind of like maybe a more interactive game mode that maybe doesn't, cannot be one shot as easily with AIs. I don't know, but you know, that's it's a really hard problem.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm feedbacking, I'll jump in and say that even things changed between when we submitted the CFO and now, which is sort of scary, because you know, in our CFO I think we make a lot less mention of AI than now is, you know, than, and now even just a couple months later it feels like the landscape has shifted even a little bit. And I'll say that, you know, we've talked a little bit about kind of the distinction between learning and kind of challenging, right? And I do think that the AI thing at the learning level is going to be a really big, you know, it's a really, really big impact, and we're not sure how to mitigate that yet, right? So, you know, beginner CTFs, easier CTFs, especially easier CTFs that have prizes, it's going to be a lot harder to really get those to be fair for people. Because you're designing those to be learning experiences that are easy for people, but also easy for people who are beginners, but also probably easy to one-shot. In DEF CON, we're hoping that we can turn the challenge level up high enough that we'll still give people with agentic systems or whatever, you know, run for their money. But by August, you know, how hard do we need to make the challenges to make that work is kind of an open problem, right? You know, testing will get us a certain way there, but we can never mitigate the possibility that somebody's going to decide they want to spend, say, $5,000 on AI credits just so they can destroy a challenge. that might happen, and that will probably be beyond what we can actually reasonably test for, right? So who knows? Maybe somebody from Anthropic or something will just show up and destroy our competition. So.
There's
definitely aspects where we're going to take into account, like, you know, there's a lot of different ways where I've seen people impulsively try and change challenges to accommodate this, and you don't want to make DEF CON a pay to win. You know, finding the right ways where we need to react that make the competition interesting for human players, whether that is humans using some AI and that helping them in part of the process, but not making it something where, ultimately, you know, we just become a, you know, a sponsor show for people who will spend, you know, absorbent amounts of money to win DEF CON.
The AI conversation, also, as Carolina kind of mentioned it earlier, it illuminates a core question that I'm sure I know the answer for all of the people here, but perhaps other people in the CTF community would need to ask themselves, which is, why are you doing CTFs? So I mentioned before that Pico CTF is this year was a prime example of a CTF that essentially just got completely filled out with LLMs doing their thing. To which I would say, why? That's a learning CTF, you know? Sure, there's a leaderboard, but it's not like there was like a finals to attend, or there was like a large monetary prize or anything like that. And ultimately, it just made me question, why do people play CTFs? I know why I do. For a good chunk of it, when I started, it was because I liked the feeling of learning something new and I wanted to do more of that. And so part of the fun of and that kept me on board was the fact that I could always come out of a CTF challenge knowing something new. And then that reason sort of shifted into the community. Or being a part of Maple Bacon, Robert Chow's like team that he started at UBC and then eventually MMM, and like now this, you know, whole cohort. This is like the main reason I play CTFs, right? It's to continue to have a commonality with all of these people that I met in the community. And, you know, I can say for certain that all of these people in this podcast, like, I'm very good friends with. They're people that I hang out with. They're people that I am just genuine friends with. And that's, I think, a kind of magic that can't be understated meeting, you know, people that you like to talk to in the CTF community. I always say this whenever I do the DEF CON retrospectives, I always talk about how like fun it is to be an MMM, but it is true. And that is probably one of the main reasons why we worked so well together, because we're just friends. We play so many board games together. I have this inside joke where I owe Carolina three black eyed beans after playing a game of Wingspan.
You still remember?
Of course I remember. I have a debt. That's like one of my core reasons, and I can probably confidently say that that is probably a core reason for all of the people involved here as well. But is it a reason for other people in the CTF community? You know, that's not really up to me to decide or definitively say. Do people play CTFs for competition, right? Do they play it to learn something? And whatever that answer is, I feel like you should probably assess with yourself if your usage of LLMs or LLMs in the first place actually help you in that goal. If you're doing it for learning, but you're using an agent to solve everything for you without you touching the problem, are you learning something? Or if you're just there to get number one in a competition, then I guess so, sure. At the end of the day, though, if people don't ask themselves that core question and ascertain their core values and their core principles as to why they're here, I don't know how AI could help them stay in proximity to those values. Not to sound super philosophical, but that's sort of my piece about AI.
Nice. Robert, do you want to chime in there?
I do imagine that DEF CON CTF will bring out some different folks. I know the behavior and the approach that people take for DEF CON is different materially to a lot of other CTFs, and we do acknowledge that too, right? So even between something like, say, Plaid CTF and DEF CON, well, people don't merge en masse to play Plaid, but they definitely merge en masse to play DEF CON, right? And part of that is, you know, because people really do want to win. But I've also met plenty of people at DEF CON CTF who are just there because, like we are, you know, for friendship. And I do hope that we can continue to support those folks so they continue to play DEF CON CTF because it's fun to do that with friends. And I hope AI doesn't get in the way of that, basically. So we'll see. We'll see. As I mentioned at the very, very beginning. As I mentioned at the very, very beginning, right? I mean, we're doing this for the community, right? At least, you know, my kind of entry point into a lot of this was really trying to give back to the community in a meaningful way. And I hope that we can continue to do that. That's the main concern for me, really, is to continue to support the CTF community. So.
That's great. Yeah, it's interesting. I can't tell where on the spectrum this LLM stuff is. I mean, I can see parallels to even, well, this was before my time, but in the age of like when decompilers first came out and like the hardcore people were like, you shouldn't use that. It sucks. Like the only real hackers like read assembly. And it was kind of seen as almost like cheating if you were like using a decompiler. Plus, they were kind of crappy and didn't really work very well and would lie to you a ton. But over time, it got to the point that like if you're not using a decompiler, you're getting left behind. Similar things. I had kind of a little bit similar thoughts even with like Pwn tools and stuff like that, where it's like. Like, no, I like writing, I don't know, the stuff by hand or like doing a crazy like one line Python byte thing into the process or into Netcat. And like, why would I write this Python script to do this? Like, you know, I'm a hacker. I can like do this other thing. And then you realize over time, like, wait, this is way more efficient and more effective to do it this way. So, yeah, go ahead, Jan.
We've all been doing this for a while. I think we can name a couple of things that I've done small bits of this. Rob chain generators are one for me that I loved handcrafting, you know, artisan Rob chains. So my favorite, you know, times in CTF were artisan Rob chains. I remember one of my big claims to fame is, I forget which challenge, but I it's one of the few write-ups I wrote, to my shame, but that one I wrote up and we beat Geohot. He was after he solved it, he was in the IRC at the time, probably, so holy shit. But yeah, it was with these artisanal ROP chains. Now I don't know how often do you see, I mean, it still shows up sometimes. You really have to craft your challenge around an artisanal ROP chain that current tooling can't get. And that's sad to me. And I remember, Adam, like people on our team, the great like old guard of Shellfish that refused to use decompilers. And at some point I said, dude, you can't hold this position anymore. Like the world has moved on. You can't be like tracking where RAX goes. And then, of course, we oversaw a phase shift with, you know, probably the, you know, previous iteration of this AI destroying CTF stuff with Anger.
No, what do you mean oversaw? You mean
initiated.
There you go. That's the word.
But like Anger came out and started one-shotting like many of the styles of reversing challenges at the time. Just straightforward symbolic execution. And the next year at DEF CON, there were, at the time, Jeopardy was more literal. There was like five challenges of roughly every category, typically. And so you'd have five pwnables, five reversings, etc. That year, there were, I think, two reversing challenges. And what happened? Well, right before launching, someone thought to playtest them with Anger. The flag popped out on three of them. And they're like, you know, we're not going to launch these if it's just an, you know, who's Anger,
you know,
more installed.
Oh, source. Yeah.
Robert, go ahead and talk. Or are you disconnected?
It's
the AIs
contemplation.
Have got him again. They keep kicking him off.
I think, I don't know if there was an implicit question in what you were saying, but
no, just discussions.
Think, yeah, part of the answer, I think, like came with something you said, Adam. Like, back in the good old days, there were no decompilers, and also they kind of sucked at the time. So you guys had skills.
No, my internet's like hilariously slow. No, my yeah.
Where are these packets going that they're taking this long? This is
going through Anthropic's servers for censorship.
Yeah, yeah, we accidentally pissed off the Anthropic gods.
You are an expert CTF community member.
If we tell Robert to go, then we all be silent for 5 minutes and let him go.
Okay.
All right, Robert, your take. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
He mutes.
I messaged him on Discord. I said, Robert, go. Hopefully he gets it.
Yeah, let's see.
He said his latency is like 10 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, that's rough. Okay.
He said he can't hear anything now. It's great.
Sorry, man.
Instant pepperoni.
Well, yeah. Suggestion.
Probably people can't hear me because the internet here has gone to absolute crap. But, I actually can't, I basically can't hear anyone, but somebody's telling me to go. So, what I'm going to say is, there's some actually parallels. Obviously, you know, artisanal rope chaining. Yeah. Right.
He's talking to ghosts, echoes in time.
We're yelling at him in the chat to keep
going. Well, so I'm thinking back to sort of how we did. Someone's going to have to like edit this, like time shift this, like back. Yeah, I think actually what I'm probably seeing is I'm seeing everybody's messages delayed by like a good minute here. I'm not sure how that even works. What do we want to say? I'm not, like trying to remember what I'm saying. One of the parallels that I see actually is to something like shellcode, right? For whatever reason, we still do shellcode challenges in competition. That's something that still for many reasons is a very, like, requires a lot of really, really deep kind of custom work. Sometimes, you know, a lot of handcrafting, sometimes through some sort of like automatic pipeline, but it's really interesting to get people to build shellcodes under funny constraints. And that's something that requires this like incredibly low level approach to doing things that sometimes is more like art than science, honestly. Either that or just, you know, memorizing the entire x86 opcode table by heart. And I do think that there's going to be, I'm not saying that shellcode, for example, is going to be the only kind of challenge we can do, but I definitely think that there's going to be plenty of room for people to kind of indulge in lower level stuff that just requires a bit of a human touch, I think. And you could probably get an AI to try to, you know, crank and write shellcode and things like that. And we knew that teams were building custom pipelines to like, use huge amounts of compute, more core their way to like the better shellcode. And that's fine. We're interested and excited to see what people are going to do with new tools, but we still think that having people at the core of it and the creativity that people are going to provide is going to still be a more interesting competition. So, DEF CON will be, and in some sense, maybe DEF CON will become sort of one of these kind of experimental grounds to see how far can people push the fusion of technology and human capability. And that may be really fun to watch. Okay.
I think that's something that's very interesting, that pushing the fusion forward. So a couple of things that were mentioned. One is these mega mergers that have kind of taken over in the last couple of years. I wonder if AI will, I mean, it's not going to make them irrelevant, but will it make smaller teams more viable again? I think that would be interesting to see. And then the other thing is like AI as a tool, right? People that know very well.
if you remember, this is what Tesu predicted on this very podcast, was that we would see a one-person team win DEF CON CTF with AIs as the other teammates.
If DEF CON was an in-person physical fight,
and the AI was in a robot.
Guess it depends on who that person is. Maybe it's a judo master. I don't know.
All right. This is a call to all prospective DEF CON qualifying teams. Please bring your best, most martial artist experienced fighter, because they will be carrying the team.
Okay.
Forward.
I can't put people in plastic balls and V wants to fight them together.
No, yeah. I'll fight them.
Oh, okay. This is definitely going the right direction.
We as a joke, we actually were thinking about, like, I think Matt said it, like just 1v1 us on, like, a game that we're really good at. So, like, 1v1 Matt in, like, Super Smash, or me in Super Smash as well.
I'll take
Fortnite. You're selling our skills, V.
I mean, but that was legitimately the Seesaw CTF Finals experience.
Right, yeah.
We would either play chess or Smash, and that was it.
So we were personally thinking, like, a way to mitigate, like, AIs is to physically 1v1 one of the organizers in some game that they were really good at. And I think it would be really funny if I said something like, yeah, 1v1 me on something. I don't know. Anyway.
I think we'll keep that in our back pocket for year two, though.
Well, or we just make the dunk tank. Or we just make the dunk tank come back.
That is true. Like, we could make the dunk tank a reality.
Let's see the AI do that.
You can't dunk an AI, so therefore it's automatically disqualified.
Yeah, but yeah, seeing that realistically, if we're talking about DEF CON CTF as the Olympics of hacking, as the world championships, and you need to account for all of the tooling that is reasonably accessible in a normal cybersecurity setting, which includes AI agents now, of course. And what I keep thinking is people would try to anger-proof reversing challenges, and we would always anger them anyways because we knew how to get around the attempted workarounds.
Up to a point, right? Then the community caught up, right? I think that's what's... No?
Yeah, but that in itself is skill.
Oh, no, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, the community learned more about symbolic execution, how it works. It used to be this very niche thing that, like, now to be a CTF organizer doing a reversing challenge, you need to even understand that in order to make your challenge not angerable, I think. And maybe that's the beauty of what you all have to do, is you will be finding the shape of these things and figuring out what are the places that it's not good at, what are the type of things, like Robert said. I think the shellcoding example was great, of like how to make those custom artisanal challenges that test us on these skills that we like being tested on, but maybe is not in a shape that the AI is very good at, because it's not really what it's used to doing. Anyway, I'm excited.
This could be like a very positive outcome of a powerful and knowledgeable team leading the pack on organizing CTFs in the AI era, is this level of knowledge of what can the AI actually do.
Yeah, I have seen a lot of, like, somewhat positive takes recently. I know that, like, yeah, given some recent events, some people obviously take to, you know, pessimism or, you know, doomerism, but there's, you know, a lot of interest in seeing, you know, something where we stop allowing ourselves to fall to old habits and easy challenges that use the same gimmicks, and are, you know, if we have something that's really good at just solving the same, like, pattern match to old challenge, you know, we now have to go and push to new interesting areas where we haven't normally been playing before. Maybe, you know, those challenges are way, you know, different than we understand right now, like, how they'll look. They're going to be very different in 2 years or 3 years, but, you know, that is also good in a way of, like, you know, us learning new things and learning and pushing where we're trying to exploit stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's exciting. I think that's the way, you know, to look at it. I mean, it's always, I think, scary being at this, like, inflection point or this point of change. Like, definitely, it's clear that things are changing, right? And you're seeing that in the CTF scene itself. And so, yeah, but I have faith in you all to be able to navigate that change. And I'm very happy I'm not the one to have to do it.
Yeah.
Thanks. And,
you
know,
you look back and it's like, what did we have to deal with? What sea changes?
Kubernetes was what we had to deal with because we started using it when it was like an alpha or beta.
Yeah, the rise of like this easily scalable massive compute. We had that bit flip challenge,
which is what Robert was talking about with the shellcoding style thing.
Yeah. Like, so there was the shellcoding thing where that had to survive as many single bit flips, different iterations as possible. And the team, it was a King of the Hill challenge. The team that won did so by brute forcing the last couple of bits that they had to like come up with a resilient defense for. It was insane. So I guess that's and then people were saying, yeah, but you know, CTF now the team with the most compute wins, and there was a lot of complaining about that.
Yeah, and that's what people are complaining about now, right? The team with the most tokens is gonna win, or that's the thought, right?
That is interesting. That's an interesting parallel.
I never thought of that parallel before because we had an ongoing joke for a long time about more core, where the answer was always just throw more compute at the problem.
Yeah.
We literally had like a more core emoji that we would all throw around, and I guess now it's just like more token.
Yeah, and actually one of the early attempts that right off the bat to fight this, because this was starting to become this like something noticed in CTFs even before us. Our first year, we had these brutally punishing proof of work gating every challenge. And the community hated it. By far, the top like negative comment about our first quals was pow CTF.
Well, to be fair, so we also had it on like the sign up form, and it would like brick your phone if you tried to sign up on your phone. So that was also not a great design.
Minor mistakes were made, but even for signing up, right? So that's interesting. Like, you know, and I'm sure that as a community, we're going to go through a number of issues with, like, you can imagine every time you netcat in, there's a captcha, ASCII captcha. That's going to be good. What if we shift to, now that we've turned CTF AI in CTF into a massive positive that we're all very excited about? What are your hopes and dreams for your tenure?
There you go.
What do you want to change in CTF or bring back or augment or like in the community
without giving things away about your design and stuff that you're not willing to share?
I haven't thought that far ahead.
Let me, first. Sorry, V.
No, you go first. Robert, go.
Robert, you always have the lock. You just talk. Robert, you just talk.
For one, I kind of want to say that, you know, in 4 years, I still want people to be really, I want people to be more excited about CTF than, you know, even now, right? So we want people to be able to come by DEF CON CTF, the floor, and get really excited about it, and people who don't know anything about CTF and come and say, oh, this is really cool and we're doing some interesting stuff. So this is one of the things that we're really thinking about doing, is really trying to make it accessible, not in the sense of you could do this tomorrow if you are a total noob, right? But in the sense of this is something that you could really be a part of and that's really exciting and that you should try your hand at. Because I think that security is still going to be extremely relevant, you know, even in the AI era. Because, well, we're going to be already writing way more code than anybody, even AIs, have time to audit. So, yeah, we need more people to be paying attention to security. And cybersecurity is going to be, like, even more important as people start writing coding and integrating code into more and more and more things. Okay, so philosophically, everybody understands that. But what I really hope for, is in 4 years that people are more excited about CTF and that CTF community continues to be vibrant, even if AIs do a bunch of weird stuff. And leaving aside that, I just want people to get excited and pumped about playing CTF. That's it. So we want to make a good game for people that they'll talk about and they'll come back and say, yeah, this was really, really fun. I still want to come back to DEF CON CTF. I still want to do this. Hopefully they're not griping too hard about our organization. So yeah, that's what I want.
you know, I want to do a good game for people.
Counterpoint, griping can really bring people together.
Yeah, nothing unifies the CTF community together like griping about organizers.
Like collective hatred of the organizers.
In our early days, there was this thing that I wish had taken off that didn't take off, the CTF Players Union. I think as a reaction to the POWs, they're like, CTF players have certain rights, such as the right to connect to the fucking challenge without a fucking POW. It was great, but it died out, unfortunately. You could bring it back.
Yeah, that's true. We could bring it back. We could bring it back, a reason for people to unionize. I stand behind that. I'd like in 4 years for people to find their own sort of found family here. Kind of just curtailing off of what Robert said, like the community is a really big part of why a lot of people stick around, me included. And it's a community that I hope like fosters new people and people who are just getting into it, as well as a community that uplifts others. It can get really hard to be to sort of have these community building attitudes, especially when there exist a lot of other people who may be more focused on competition over fostering that sense of community. And, you know, I can't really say anything to those people. But what I do want to say is to whoever is starting out, or to whoever is, you know, dreaming of DEF CON and wanting to be playing in DEF CON, however that looks for them, my hope is that what we do in the 4 years that we have power over DEF CON, we enable that. So, you know, in the age of AI and in the age of competition sort of trampling over perhaps other paradigms of why people play CTFs, we remind people that one of the biggest reasons why some of the top teams, not just, you know, us, but Shellfish and organizers and a bunch of other like really big teams out there, the reason why they're sort of well-respected and well-regarded is because they're also just, they have a community. And that's probably one of the more powerful things that something like a CTF can bring together. Not to be cheesy, but that's my hope in 4 years. And maybe that can happen with, you know, making players hate us so much that they unionize against us.
They just form one big team. They coalesce into that just would one be team.
Can you imagine? You
it's just one team versus the organizers.
That's when we let in the LLM.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear that's that, really when you bring in scabs to crush us. The LLMs will play.
It's all the players A and we're the D or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. I think it'd be funny if like we sold people on that and then like surprise, actually we're attacking you. And
that's
then
so good. Yeah. Wait, the organizer infrastructure just becomes what you're
the
attacking
CTF.
Then.
That actually is
that's
great
true.
If you could do that. That'd
but more
be
than normal.
Shit. Yeah.
We wow. intentionally make it bad.
No, this is what we wanted. Trust us.
No, yeah. The database isn't working for a reason.
This is great. Cool. Any other final thoughts? Oh, yeah, Jacob, go ahead.
Yeah, well, one of the things I wanted to say, one, definitely echoing the notes of community. I think that there's something that's always very special about the idea of a CTF. You know, you have people who are volunteering, there's some rare exceptions, but you know, most people are all volunteering their free time to make something cool for you to hopefully learn something that is, you know, special. And yeah, that has been, I think, the space for us to break bread and learn, you know, so many cool things, you know, whether it's for career, for fun, for friends. And I want like that, you know, something that like feels like that, you know, special moment where you can tell like somebody's put so much effort into something. I want that feeling to be something that people walk away with.
Awesome. It's all great vibes. Great vibes. I love it. Any last amazing thoughts? Go ahead. Yeah, John.
Blue Beach, go ahead.
Yeah. I would echo everything that everyone else has said. I think a couple other things that come to mind for me, kind of on the scale of like most narrow to most broad. On the narrow end, I'm going to be extremely vague here for reasons that will very quickly become clear. I think there are some parts of the game design that have not been fully explored in some ways. So I think that there's a lot of space to like push teams to like really look in directions that maybe they haven't been in the past. And I think that as, you know, just as an experience, I think that that will be an interesting one for everyone. Kind of in the middle scope, kind of an ongoing joke I have. I want to run a contest where my parents understand what's going on. So definitely a lot in the sort of like accessibility direction, both for people who are aspiring hackers and also for those who aren't, just for people who want to like, you know, have it as like a event that they can watch and like understand and really take in this culture that they might not be familiar with and, you know, kind of like get a feel for what it's like, even if they
maybe
have no intention
of playing on Kinshoto.
Sorry?
Oh, so maybe your parents played on Kinshoto.
That,
I probably just offended Kinshoto.
No. That's a thing. By age wise, yeah, yes. I think so. That's maybe.
Should have thought twice. Anyway, sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
Anyways, yes, I think that's a great sentiment. I think that's something that we really wanted to do. I think we didn't have the people necessary to like actually accomplish that.
And it's not. That's not to say quality wise, quantity wise, right? The manpower. To make something so yes. approachable, right?
Yes. To like, yeah, when you start getting closer, you have, you know, we had grand ideas of what we wanted, and then you get closer and closer, you're like, we need something. Like, we can't, like, grand vision is great for us. And then it was like, well, shit, now we have to, like, make sure we can do the thing. And then, like, if it's visible to anyone else, great. Oh, hey. Oh, my God. Incredible. Ah, yes.
Bernard. It's we Bernard.
Did, you did say we'd have a special guest, and
the
you
supreme
were
leader of BBB.
Oh my God!
Secretly,
yeah. Whipping people to get their challenges in order.
I have an awesome game design idea that merges community and what a lot of what we talked about, but I won't say it on the air, and probably I won't say it at all.
Oh,
I can't say it on the air if you want me to.
No, tell us secretly.
Okay, I'll tell you soon. Yeah, I'll send you an email. But
you have to always be skeptical of somebody who says they have a great idea. They just can't say it in public or to you or ever.
Oh, my God.
Especially if it's coming from Zardes.
It's the last thing I was going to say was honestly just making like an event that people find fun and exciting. Because that was something where it's like CTFs are obviously a highly technical thing where there's a lot of technical effort that goes into it and all the challenges are very technical, but it's also just like a thing that people like to do. And I think that it should be, people should like doing it. And there's sort of like a certain level of artistry that you can kind of bring in, which is something that I really prioritized in my time working on Plaid CTF. And I know that V has, you know, done a lot of the similar work with the Hexcelerate and Google CTF as well. So it's something that we're really looking forward to, you know, kind of bringing into DEF CON, not to say that it hasn't been like that in the past, certainly, but you know, like really bring on. Oh, and there we go again.
You really brought that home with the magic the magic light off. No, that's great. That's I think exactly what people like, what we want out of a CTF, and definitely something we've noticed with Plaid. I mean, in particular, right? Plaid has definitely been held in esteem over the years for a reason, right? It's not just the great challenges, it's the great themes that bring everything together. And like, yeah.
You know, I think my memory from back then is hazy, but I think the first Plaid CTF, if I remember correctly, it was the first CTF where even the intro pwn challenges had mitigations enabled. So it's, you know, maybe that set up like the history for the groundwork for being able to adapt to the current age.
Maybe. I don't know. Oh, hey. Cool. All right. Any other final thoughts from the BBBers? Any last bird honks or squawks? Do birds honk? I thought like geese honk. Are geese birds? I don't
geese
know. These are birds.
Are
they?
Geese are birds. Adam.
Geese are birds.
Then why can they bite me? But why do they bite me? They're
but
they're
not
mean
all
birds.
Are geese.
Stop attacking them.
What is this geese slander?
Yeah, what's going on?
Geese slander?
They'll tell you to be scared of geese. They'll be like, the geese, why do you think they're honking? Because the next thing is they're going to bite.
Mortal.
There's nothing wrong with geese. I think you're just approaching them wrong.
Well, right, you know, geese will hiss too. If they hiss, that's when they're going to bite you. They're honking, they're happy.
See, also not great. What other bird hisses?
Good point.
Nobody's like, oh, that blue jay's hissing. It's beautiful.
I'm still thinking about my amazing idea. It's really good.
Are you still talking about your idea? Jesus Christ, man, that was like 10 minutes ago.
I'm going to email you guys. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, can't wait until we're off the air and you tell us the worst possible idea ever.
Yeah, I cannot. I am anticipating this email. Like, I need you to have this email ready.
I will say we do keep a channel specifically for, or this has been a long time tradition of just poop CTF, of just terrible, terrible ideas. They go all in one channel and they're so good.
Yeah.
Can you, do you like limit someone that's the only channel they can post in? Because I have a guess that maybe.
Well, welcome to our organization. You can only post in poop CTF.
Guys, is it normal that I can only see one channel? It's like, yeah.
No, don't worry.
There was an era of Shellfish where we had the Drunk Tank channel, and there were people that were relegated just to that channel.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Someone was in there for a couple months before they realized that they couldn't see anything else. It was amazing.
All right.
Well, if you have extremely terrible ideas... and time to implement them. Would you like to organize them?
Yeah.
That's a great follow-on. So if people wanted to get in touch with you to share their also amazing ideas, which will clearly not be on the level of what Zardes has, but or if they want to, I don't know, understand more about your birds, where can they find you?
So our main website is bbbirds.org.
Smooth.
Guys,
this is where you'll have the text flash up on the screen, right? Right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. You have the seizure inducing page too.
The bbbirds.org. Can I just say we were so close to shipping just that version.
You should have. Oh my god, it's so good. I love that one. It's a great. I just got honked at in the background by your website. So
yeah. And see, doesn't that sound like a bird? Anyway, so bbbirds.org, as well as our email for more technical things, although I don't think people will be needing that anytime soon. But it is defcon@bird.army if you would like correspondence, but unlikely.
Fun fact, if you released a flock of geese into the CTF lore, it would be the second primarily bird-focused challenge in the history of CTF.
How many tariffs would I have to pay for transporting Canadian geese across the border?
We have them in the U.S. too!
Yeah, what's wrong with our good American geese, huh? They bite me, they're not good enough for you, they is.
Guys, I'm
sorry.
They
can fly over the tariff zone.
This is literally just going to be the same thing with the onions, but with geese. You give me a t-shirt, I'll give you the geese!
I forgot. Yeah, we did the whole thing with Olivia before. It's totally fine. Never mind.
We couldn't distract the Canadian forward envoys. They're busy doing other stuff.
Yeah, well, like hissing at Adam and biting him, apparently.
Just saying. All right. Great. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for being on today. We really appreciate it. It was great hearing from the birds themselves. We're all wishing you here, not just at CTF Radio, but the CTF community. We're all wishing you guys the best of luck. I'm Adam D. You can find me online at Adam Dupay. He's Zardes. You can find him online at Zardes. We're CTF Radio. You can find us online at CTF Radio. You can send us questions through email, but I'm not sure what happens to that email or if it goes anywhere right now. So, you know, maybe we'll get it. It's ctfradio@gmail.com. And we may use your questions on a future episode of CTF Radio. Take care and happy hacking. This episode of CTF Radio is produced by Adam Dupay. Theme music provided by Swarty. Lyrics by Carlene Dupay.
Algorithms, Easter eggs, it's all about the hack. Python, chaos, nights of sleep never get back. Noob or leak, make your best attack. Because it's all for the glory of capturing that flag. I need